Well, good morning, everyone. Go to Colossians chapter 2, if you would, please. And we're going to start out this morning by reading verse number 6 and verse number 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Lord, we want to bow in your presence this morning and pray that you would please give us help. Lord, it's been really fun studying these two verses. I have probably more details than I should share. Please help me to clearly communicate the doctrine, the teaching of your word. Lord, we just read that we're supposed to proceed forward in a sound way, in a grounded way. And we want to communicate the truth of your word this morning, and we certainly would ask for your help in that, Lord. Also, I love the people in this room, and so I pray that the Spirit of God would open the word of God to each one of us. There are some truths in these verses that are incredibly essential for moving forward in a way that will give Jesus Christ the glory he deserves, and for moving forward in a way that will become a massive, unfathomable blessing to the people that I love in this room. So, Lord, please give us help, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, amen. Brian, would you help me? I think there are 16 of these. And so there's not enough for every individual, but there should be plenty for every family. This is a chapter out of this book. I hugely recommend this to you. I read this morning, actually. It's Andrew Murray's chapter on these two verses. And so I had my message all written out yesterday. But I read this morning and I just thought, ay, ay, ay. And so I was already going to bring this and recommend the book to you. It's called Abide in Christ by Andrew Murray. My little daughter, that I think is awesome, bought me this for Father's Day. And I have been massively blessed by this book. So it's Abide in Christ. This is the 31-day devotional for fellowship with Jesus, it says. And every day has been amazing. But his description of these two verses is really, I think it's life-changing, honestly. And so I asked Lynn, do we have time to photocopy this morning? And so that's what Brian is handing out, is his description of these two verses. So I heartily recommend the book, and I wanted you to have at least that one chapter. Okay, so let's set a little bit of a stage here, and then we'll jump into our text. In the book of Colossians, the beautiful thing about Colossians is that Christ is everything in Colossians. That he's shown to, it's kind of like Hebrews, he's shown to be preeminent, he's shown to be beautiful. In fact, there's so many things you couldn't possibly cover it in a time like this. Look at just verse number 15, if you would. Chapter 1, verse 15, speaking of Christ, it says, he is the image of the invisible God. So if you stop right there, he is the seen God, so to speak. He has every essential attribute of God, but he's what we see. And so if you want to get to know God, then in other words, you get to know Christ, right? Do you remember Thomas's discussion, right? Show us the Father. And he says, have I been with you this long and you still don't understand this, right? If you want to get to know the Father, then get to know me. So that speaks beautifully of Christ. And then it says, the firstborn over all creation. And I'm going to stop right there. Firstborn means preeminent one. It doesn't mean that you're just the first person born into a certain family. It means preeminent one. And we could go into plenty of Old Testament scriptures and prove that. But I just want to throw that out there. That is a statement of the utter preeminence of Jesus Christ. So that's the foundation, really, of how Colossians unfolds, that Christ is absolutely everything. He's your beginning to the Christian life. He's how you carry on in the Christian life. He's the goal of the Christian life. He's the only reason why I want to go to heaven. If he wasn't there, I wouldn't want to go there. And little by little, we realize that Christ is everything. So here's a little breakdown. This isn't even my message yet, but if you're just trying to see the foundation of it, 21 to 23, Christ is our reconciliation to God. 24 to 27, Christ is the revelation of the mystery, so he's how we understand. 28 and 29 is Christ is our perfection. the believer's perfection. And then chapter 2, 1 through 5, Christ is our education, Christ is our wisdom. And so there's this admonition, don't be taken in by the empty philosophies of the world. Don't be taken in by the way the world thinks, right? Stick to the purity of Christ. It's the exact same admonition that Peter gives when he says, as newborn babes, desire the unadulterated, unmixed, the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so Christ is, He is our education, our wisdom. So Christ is our reconciliation, revelation, perfection, education. Basically, Christ is everything. And so on that foundation, that Christ is everything, you find these two verses. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So right from the beginning, you get this concept. And this is point number one. I have two simple points for this morning, by the way. This is point one, that you carry on just how you started. This is what led me to this passage. The rest of what I'll share this morning was a bonus, right? I started doing the exposition and I'm like, yeah, that's awesome, right? When you get into the second verse in these two verses, right, that really shocked me, honestly. But this is what the Lord used to lead me to this passage. This is the essential principle by which we lead a successful Christian life, that you carry on the exact same way that you started. And I want to both pick apart the exposition and then apply it as we think about this incredibly vital concept. So how do you start a relationship? You have to think of a marriage, right? And so if you have a building very similar to this, and I still fondly remember being the groom, you know, and standing here and seeing my bride come down the aisle, I received her to myself. And that's the idea, that it's made up of two different Greek words, and it means to appropriate alongside. But it's the picture of the bride coming down to the bridegroom, right? And so you appropriate for yourself a bride. You bring her to your side. And so it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. The same thing is true spiritually that's true physically. If you look in Revelation, when you've lost your first love, like you're not passionate about Christ the way that you once were. You don't weep over the loss the way that you once did. When you recognize a dryness, a coldness, then the exhortation is return to your first works, right? Return to your first love, right? If you've lost something, go back to what it was like in the beginning. He's saying, in a different context, he's saying, go back to how you started in your Christian life. That's the solution, is what he's telling them. So receive to yourself. What are the things that keep people from receiving Christ? Past sin, right? Sometimes people think, I've really blown it, right? You have no idea how bad I am. Have you ever been told that? And so they'll hold back from receiving Christ. Sometimes they'll think, I actually had a guy tell me this in a park one time. I'm not capable of leading the life that you guys describe. And I didn't know what to say, right? Now I know what to say to that. I would say, there's only one person that ever lived the Christian life successfully, and that's Jesus Christ, right? None of us are capable of living the Christian life that we describe. It's the life of Christ that changes you. But I stood there when he told me that, and I didn't know what to say, right? And so my past sin, you don't know what I did. My present weakness, by the way, this is described in that article, and I thought it was so beautiful. My future failure, I made commitments before, and it just hasn't worked out, and it makes me reticent to make a commitment again. Now, let's plug that into our principle. As you have received Christ, so walk in Him. And it's the same things that keep people from initially being saved, that keep people from abounding in Christ. And so as we sit here today, we sit, to my knowledge, exclusively, at the very least, largely, a company of saved people, right? what would keep our group from abounding? What would keep our group from being rooted and built up in Him, constantly growing and overflowing, and then hence being such an amazing testimony to the community of Topeka, both believers and unbelievers alike? It'd be the exact same thing, right? Past sin. That's what 1 John chapter 3 deals with. Christians really get hung up over past sin. Boy, we need to understand grace and forgiveness, right? Present weakness and future failure. These are the things that keep people from living the abundant life, the way that the Lord Jesus desires for them, the way that the Apostle Paul desires for them. And so he gives this incredibly essential principle that the same way you got saved is how you need to press on. I communicate it this way all the time, that we got saved by grace through faith. And the only way that we press on into the Christian life, the way that Christ wants for us, the way you transition from being a servant, like those of you that were here last week, the way you transition from being a servant to a friend of Christ, the way you grow and come into this life that you can only describe as eternal life in quality and extent and in every other way, the only way is by grace through faith. So to understand the incredible grace of God, and then to appropriate by faith. Bruce came up to me last week. I hope you don't mind me outing you. And he said to me afterwards, he said, "You're inviting us to something." And I said, "Yeah, I'm inviting you to something." And he said, "It's funny. It's just like a gospel invitation." And I thought about that this week, because I've thought about that actually for months, that that's absolutely true, that it's just like a gospel invitation. In fact, I asked the Lord this morning, I'm not going to do this if it puts your hearts at ease, but I asked the Lord this morning, should I have an altar call? Right? I want to say everything that Jesus Christ wants me to say when I'm up here. And I'm committed to that. I think you know that. So whatever Jesus Christ wants me to say, that's what I want to say when I'm up here. And I'm absolutely inviting you to more. It has become so obvious to me in the scriptures. In fact, I did not start out this message thinking about more at all. I was led to this passage because of this principle, that you carry on the same way that you started. And that's what I was expecting to emphasize exclusively. This verse, this next verse where it says rooted and built up, in the Greek, that's being constantly built up, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding, that's being constantly overflowing. It means to be caused to be more excessive, a very great degree. Anyways, we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Anyways, so as you started, as you received Christ, that's how you carry on and press on into everything He has for you. So as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So the same exact way that you got started, that's how you carry on. Now, he describes it in two ways. He says, rooted and built up in Him. And again, this is beautiful. If you do the exposition here, this is beautiful. Rooted is a perfect participle. It means an abiding result. So having been rooted, it's a past one-time action with ongoing results. And so, in other words, it's referring back to when you received Christ. So when you received Christ, you were rooted, right? We have all different kinds of pictures in the scripture. Here, Jesus Christ would be the ground. And when you received Christ, you were rooted, right? And so it's the idea of being solidly established. In fact, he uses that word later in the text. So there's two parallel thoughts that run through these two verses. One of the thoughts would be received, rooted, established. The other thought is walk, built up, abounding. And so if you look at the Greek words, it's clear that what's referring to what all the way through it. And so really he's presenting two thoughts. And this is the first one, that you need to carry on the exact same way that you started. So how do we walk? We walk rooted in Christ. How do we walk? We walk built up. And I'll say this one more time. It was present. And so it's a continuous action, being constantly built up in Him. If we ever stagnate as a Christian, we're out of the will of God. In fact, walking implies direction. Building implies direction. And so, remember, this is written to a church. And so the Apostle Paul is saying to a local church that my will for you, God's will for you, is that you be moving forward. And if there's ever a point in your life where you're not moving forward, then you're out of the will of God, right? And not running ahead of Christ, but nor lagging behind Christ. In other words, I would say if you're not moving forward, you're moving backward. And so walking in Him, again, that's a beautiful point. It's not walking on Christ. Like in Ephesians, you're being built on Christ. That's a different picture. Here, you're walking in Christ, and it says specifically that you're being built up, again, not on Christ. That would be a perfectly true doctrinal point from a different passage. But you're being built up in Christ. So how are we supposed to, proceed? We're supposed to proceed in Him, walking forward in Him, being built up, growing taller and taller constantly until glory in Him. Vincent puts it this way, the concept of in Him. The whole upbuilding of the church proceeds within the compass of Christ's personality, life, and power. In other words, it's like Christ is a body of water and you're immersed in Christ. This is why I've been saying for so many months, Christ is everything. Christ is everything. This is why I've been saying we're going to live or we're going to die with the presence of Christ. That the way forward is intimacy with Christ. Like, this is why I've been emphasizing it. He says you walk forward in Him, right? You build up in Him. There's a Northern Irish preacher that I love. His name is Alan Bartley. He grew up in a gospel hall in Ireland. He had to, how do you even say this? At a certain point in his Christian life, he discovered the presence of God in a dramatic way. He didn't get saved, right? That had happened to him long before. But he discovered that you can live in the presence of God. You can live in Christ, and your day can actually be immersed in the presence of Christ. In fact, you can, I would say that I'm very bad at this. I ask people to pray for this for me all the time. But you can actually walk with Him in an unbroken way, that it's unbroken, constant fellowship between you and the Savior, and you're just constantly in Him. Well, Alan Bartley, I don't have time to tell you about it, but he discovered what it meant to have the presence of God. This happened to Dan last May. In 1 week of repentance, and he'll tell you the details, but in 1 week, he discovered what it meant to have the presence of God and that it's radically different than when you don't have the presence of God. Alan Bartley went back to his gospel hall and recognized almost instantaneously that the presence of God wasn't there. He was still going to breaking of bread. He was still going to the prayer meeting, but he couldn't find the presence of God. Is that a problem? That's a huge problem, right? And so what I want to emphasize is here, written to a local church, the Apostle Paul is saying, this is how you carry on. You carry on exactly how you started, by grace, through faith, rooted and grounded, built up in Him. It's all in Him. Everything is swamped with Christ. Alan actually had to go to a prayer meeting. He found, I think, four people that would meet to pray in his community. And I listened to him describe it on a message, and he just smiled, and he said the presence of God was there. That's what we want as a group of God's people. We want Jesus Christ to be saturating everything. And people ought to be able to come to Topeka Gospel Chapel and be immersed in Christ. In fact, this is the goal, right? This would be a prayer request that the Lord would make this true. That our breaking of bread would be utterly dripping with the beauty of Christ. That our prayer meeting would be utterly dripping with power, omnipotent rippling of muscle as the Spirit of God leads His people in prayers. And then as He answers those prayers, because He's directing us so carefully in the way that we're praying, the manner that we're praying, what we're praying for, all the rest of it. I'd love to talk about each one of these things for so long. This is what's being described. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So I agonized over these things this week. And like, I know this principle, right? But I agonized over these things saying, Lord, how do I communicate this? And finally, I went on a walk yesterday and I just said, Lord, I need to know how to communicate these things to your people. And then finally I settled in the presence of God. There are two things that I want to share about this principle. Number one, it involves trust. Number two, it involves a yielding. How does a person get saved? Trust. Like all of our favorite gospel messages, it has, the Greek word is pistuo or pistis. We translate it faith, we translate it believe. Both inherently carry the idea of trust. I still remember Jack Fish saying that all those years ago. And so we trust Christ to get saved, right? How do we carry on into the fullness of what God wants for us? We trust Him, right? And then even the demons believe, right? There's an element of an acknowledgement of truth that is not sufficient in these things. And so there's a yielding. And that's what I want to urge us to do. And this is what I thought about having an altar call, which I know would be completely foreign to our culture. But this is what I thought about doing, is saying, if you're in, come forward. Let's pray. And I guess I'll just say, I'm in. I'm 100% unwilling to live my Christian life without abounding. I'm not going to do that. Live my Christian life without what Paul describes in these verses. I'm going to go forward. And the coolest thing in the world is that I know that this is God's will. If this was my will, it'd be a disaster. Like, how good have I been in my Christian life? How good have I been at keeping to my own standards? Right? That's a history of struggle, a history of failure, of defeat, right? And yet the life of Christ, God's will, boy, He's really good about bringing about His will in a person's life. And so what we're describing, this is the will of God for every one of us. So I would encourage you to trust Christ. No, he has never given us any piece of truth that would hurt us, right? Like, a person contacted me this week and said, I'm troubled by the emphasis on the Holy Spirit these days. Like, I hear people talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm troubled by that. We've been taught theologically to be troubled by that all of our lives, right? And again, that's a huge topic. But they were presenting an honest fear, right? I'm troubled by this. And so I just want to encourage us to trust. Jesus Christ gave an amazing sermon on the Holy Spirit in John 14 through 16, and none of that which He presented in John 14 through 16 was meant to hurt the Christian. Romans 8 is the chapter on the Holy Spirit in God's epistles, right? None of that truth was meant to hurt the Christian. It's meant to lead you into a place where you're proceeding for the glory of Christ, and you're being constantly built up into a life that you can't even now even imagine. You end up living eternal life now. Anyways, so trust and yield. This book, I heartily recommend this for you. I bought this for you at the Workers and Elders Conference. I'm hugely enjoying this. This is an easy read, an incredibly easy read. Like, you guys could read this to Andy, Dave and Rachel. Like, I think your kids would love this. It's tiny little chapters. It would be incredibly easy to read this after supper. William MacDonald repeatedly makes the point in this book that God not only uses His word to communicate the original intended meaning to the original audience, but He's fully capable and constantly does use His word out of its original context to confirm personal leading of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. I read this and I was like, George Farber asked me a question at the Workers Conference. He's like, how did God lead you to California? And so I told him, and frankly, I cringe a little bit sometimes because it's a little different than the way I was raised, right? And I don't know how people are constantly going to react to this. And so I told him, and he's like, that's exactly what William MacDonald describes in that book. I was like, what book? And he said, God Still Speaks. And I said, William MacDonald wrote a book called God Still Speaks? And he's like, yeah, it's out there on the book table. And I couldn't believe it, honestly. And so I'm about halfway through this. And this is an amazing book. By the way, I'm sitting here reading this thinking, are you serious? Right? I was never taught these things. Either that or I just completely missed it in my ignorance. William MacDonald, if you don't know who this is, I think the vast majority of you do. But if you don't happen to know who this is, he's got the best one-volume Bible, or the most selling one-volume Bible commentary in the world. Like, this is a tremendously trusted, solid, conservative, theological mind. And he's clearly making the case for God speaking to His people in a dynamic way, not just a static way, like the original meaning that original author wrote to an original recipient audience, but that the Spirit of God will take the Word and confirm it and guide us and all the rest. So I heartily recommend this to you. There's a guy in here, by the way, Paul Bramson has the story of how God specifically led him. He needed God to speak to him after 5 years on the mission field. I read his story a couple days ago. And so he sat down. He said, Lord, I need you to speak to me. I did this week. Lord, I need you to speak to me. And he sat there with four books in his Bible. And the Lord used each one of those books to confirm to Paul his specific direction for what he had in his life. Anyways, this is a tremendous book. There's a guy in here named Dennis who was raised in a Christian family. And he resisted. He made a profession of faith. By the way, I do worry sometimes that some of our kids would find themselves in this situation. He made a profession of faith when he was little. I don't remember if it mentions baptism, but he made a profession of faith. I'm sure his parents rejoiced at that, right? And yet he went on, and the world just had this grip on him through high school, through college. He was, I think, an accomplished athlete, at least it sounded like it. And he just got more and more into the world. And then eventually, he yielded to Christ. And I'm leaving out all the details, but I just want to simply just put that out there, that the day he got saved, he yielded to Christ. That's a perfectly appropriate way to share a salvation story, that he'd been resisting, and finally, he called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved, or he yielded. So this is my way of stressing this point, that the same way we press on into everything God wants for us is the way we got saved. So there are two things that I want to emphasize. Trust Christ to lead us forward. Like who can lead us on this journey? Only Christ, right? Only Christ. So trust Christ, yield to Christ. And I would encourage you to tell him, like at some point, if you want to go on this journey, by the way, he'll leave you alone if that's what you want. If you're happy with your Christian life, he'll leave you where you are. In fact, that's most of Christendom. But if you want to press on into everything he has for you, boy, I encourage you, trust him and yield to him and tell him, Lord, I want everything you want for me. That's my number one prayer these days. I want everything that's in your mind and heart for me, and I want nothing that you don't want for me. Okay, point number two. Let's keep reading. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Established in the faith as you have been taught. Now, this is an incredibly important point. Established means to make firm. That's in the present tense. So it means constantly being established. And this is modifying the concept of walking. How do we walk forward for Christ? We need to walk forward in a way that we are solid, right? We use this term all the time. That guy is solid, right? That is a solid woman. I went to Toronto a little while back last spring, and I met a woman that's probably more educated, almost like a William Kelly type mind. In fact, I was blown away. Like, she taught her kids 4 years of Latin, 4 years of Greek, 4 years of Hebrew. I was like, ay, ay, ay. And you'd sit and talk to her, and it's like, I can't even converse on the level that this woman is capable of conversing on, right? I know her, I know her kids, and this is an amazing woman of God, right? An amazing intellect. And so you would look at someone like that, and you would say, she is solid, right? You would say of William MacDonald, you would say he is solid. This biblical point, that's what this is making. How do we proceed on for Christ? We need to proceed on in a way that we are established, right? Specifically, it says established in the faith as you have been taught. So that would be a reference to apostolic teaching, the authoritative teaching of God's word. Right? So in the way that you have been grounded in God's word, that's how you carry on. The idea of compromise, the idea of a decline of God's truth or practicing God's truth over time is totally foreign to the idea of progress in Scripture. I find that this is an incredibly important point. You guys know me, right? You know, like, all I talk about, all I want to talk about is Christ and the fullness that is available in Christ and going forward in Christ. That's all I want to talk about. If you go forward, if there's the slightest thought in your head that going forward with Christ means a departure from being solidly established in the truths of God's word, or a slow decline away from the truths of God's word, that is totally foreign to the mind of the Apostle Paul. In fact, I'll go ahead and give it to you. I had it for the end, but notice that these things do not contradict. In the mind of the Apostle Paul, being solid and established biblically is not opposed to the abundant, overflowing, constantly moving forward, constantly building, being built up, and I'll go ahead and give it to you, abounding life. Abounding means cause to be more, excessive, a very great degree. And what are you abounding in the verse? You're abounding in it. So if you go back and ask the verse, what is it? Right? I did this, right? I said, okay, you're supposed to be abounding in it. So with a desire to make sure that I'm 100% biblical in everything I say up here, I said, well, what is it? And so I look back, right? As you therefore have received Christ, is Christ it in the verse? Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it. So this is simple, and I'd love to make it more complicated or give you more detail. But the word it is a pronoun, it's personal, it's dative, it's singular, and it's feminine. And so it's obvious that he's not referring to Christ. He's referring to the faith. And so the Apostle Paul is telling the Colossian Christians that you move forward in a solid, established way. No departure from the way that you've been taught. You move forward constantly walking, constantly being built up, abounding, overflowing, coming into this excessive Christian life that Jesus Christ wants for you. I came that you may have life and have it what? Abundantly. It's the same exact concept. I did not start into this passage intending to preach this point. And yet it's right there. If I'm going to preach these two verses, it's right there, right? So we need to move forward in a solid, established way. We need to move forward in an abounding way. I'm 100% unwilling to move forward without either one of those. And that's what a church should be, right? That's what a local church should be, is that we're going to honor the living Word of God by honoring the written Word of God. We're going to honor the living Word of God by coming into the good of everything He has for us. I have a friend that's a full-time worker who years ago began to wrestle with these things. And he came to the conclusion that New Testament principles were the reason that we were being held back as a local church. Now, I love this guy. I've known this guy for probably the better part of 20 years at this point, and I like him very much, but that is not a biblical conclusion. And I can say, thus says the Lord, right? Right here, he says, how do you move forward? Well, Christ is everything. How did you get saved? That's how you move forward. You trust, you yield, right? And there's two specific ways that I want you to move forward. These are the two thoughts through this text, right? So I want you to move forward as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, rooted in Him, established in the things that you've been taught. Move forward, walking, being built up, and abounding in the Christian life. And so that's the argument that Paul makes in these verses. So notice that they don't contradict. Notice that they're both essential in the mind of the Apostle Paul. And then I can't help myself. Notice finally that we should be thriving as the people of God. If we're not constantly moving forward, if we're not constantly being built up, if we're not abounding, exceeding, right, excessive is the thought in the Greek. If that's not true of us, then something's wrong. Okay, so how do we deal with that? We trust and we yield, and I would add one thing, we seek. Seek the Lord, seek His power, seek His presence continually. Jesus Christ is the only one that's capable of leading us. I was going to read you something. My time's obviously gone. I have an email here that Josh Lindemood wrote, and he didn't write it as an email. He wrote it on Facebook. And so if you want this, then tell me, and or actually just email me. It's sldegroff, like Scott Lynn DeGroff, @gmail.com, and I will email this to you. I was going to read this to you, but it would take too much time. This is an example of someone that is abounding in Christ. I was so impressed by the things that he wrote. I mean, so impressed. It was like I've been praying for myself. Okay, Lord, you've brought me on this journey. You've given me some amazing experiences with you that I didn't even know were possible. And now, Lord, I need to learn how to communicate these things for the good of the people of God. When I read Josh's thoughts on my Facebook, by the way, you could go and find it on my Facebook too. When I read this, I was like, ay, ay, ay. He knows how to communicate the things that I struggle to communicate, right? He has to be living these things or he couldn't possibly be communicating these things. So if you want this, email me. If you want, just go look at it on my Facebook. It's under a quote. I wrote a quote about a false trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Bible, as opposed to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then the people of God had a good time discussing that particular point. And Josh was part of that discussion. Anyways, it's incredibly rich. There's so much for us in Christ. How do we proceed on into that? We have to proceed on in a solid, established way. He says in the text, he says, as you have been taught, right? And then we have to abound. And so we rob Christ of glory if we depart from biblical teaching. We rob Christ of glory if we don't enter into the moving forward, the being built up, the overflowing, abounding life that he wants for all of us. And by the way, it's not a letter written to individuals. It's a letter written to a local church. That's so important, right? This is how a local church moves forward in Christ. Lord, we want to commit this to you. We love you, and we want you to have the glory that you deserve. So thank you, Father, for these two verses. Thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. Lord, he's everything to us. He's everything to us. Lord, amongst the people of God, I guess I'm glad I don't know, but I really don't know the fears that are in this room. I don't know the reluctancies. I don't know the lies. Lord, I could see maybe the lie being in someone's mind that, oh, that sounds nice. I don't have time for that. Lord, that would be such a lie if we look at your word and are fair with your word. All we have to do is submit to your will. Lord, would you please show us how? I don't even know if I can pray for other people in this, Lord, but I want to. I want to stand here and pray that we trust you. I want to stand here and pray that we yield to you. I want, as a local church, to move forward the way that you so clearly describe in your word. Honestly, Lord, I don't even know how to pray when it comes to these things. I can't pray that way for salvation, and that's your illustration in the verse. So, Lord, I pray that you would meet each one where they are. I pray that you would deal with any objections, any fears, any reservations that they have in their heart. I pray that we would proceed forth in an established way, as we've been taught. I pray also that we would proceed forth abounding. Lord, prayer is always funny because I'm not informing you of anything. And yet I stand here, I find myself compelled, Lord, to say that our circles, the circles that I've traveled in for my adult life, Lord, we're massively characterized by an emphasis on being established in truth, and yet we have woefully robbed Jesus Christ of glory by not abounding. There are things that we're afraid of, Lord, that we shouldn't be afraid of. There are things that we need to enter into. All of this is in your mind and heart. It's all in your word, too. Lord, some are abounding. Some are... Well, I don't know. I'm just going to leave it at that. Lord, please, we desperately need you. You're the only one that can really lead us forward. I just want to pray one more thing, and then I'll be quiet. I pray that... how do I say it? I know it's your will, according to the verse, that there be a Christ-saturated atmosphere in everything we do. And so I pray that that would increase more and more. The same way that Paul prays for the Thessalonian Christians, that their love would abound more and more. I pray for this biblical concept, that our breaking of bread would reflect a dripping of the beauty of Christ in a greater way than it ever has before, regardless of where we are today. That our prayer meeting would reflect... the presence of God, that you would move us beyond talking at God into this intimacy of Son and Father, and a sensitivity to praying in the Spirit that produces answered prayer. Lord, I'm just going to leave it at that. We love you so much, Lord. We want to go forward. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.